This is the Night Owls Disc Golf Podcast, a DeGam Network podcast. I'm Shane.
And I'm JP.
And tonight, our topic of choice is going to be our disc golf stories. So it'll be a way to get to know why and how we came to love disc golf so much. So JP, what we'll do is we'll start off with, what did you buy this week for disc golf?
Oh boy. So today on an impulse, Nomadic Disc Golf, a retailer in Michigan, announced that they had some more DD3s, the Clawbreaker 3s in stock.
Really? Oh, the restocks happened.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This was their first shipment that they got. Wasn't even a restock. So I ended up buying two more that I kind of felt bad about buying afterwards.
So now you have five.
Now I have five.
Okay. So are you throwers, flippers, or wall hangers?
So the three I bought originally, two were pretty pop-toppy that I'm happy with. The other one was pretty flat. And these two, other two, one's a blue with a Wonder Bread stamp, so that might be a hanger.
Okay.
But I definitely, DD3 is my driver, my distance driver of choice, so I intend to throw them.
Ooh. Yeah. The Wonder Bread and the Money Stamp are the two that, if I see them, I'm a sucker for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or anytime they're ghosted. So if it's like blue disc, blue stamp, or black disc, black... No, not black disc, black stamp, because those are just the color lost.
Yeah. The red Clubbreaker 3, I got ghost stamp. So that was like shatter, kind of like ghost stamp. Like.
Sure.
So that one's pretty special.
Oh, and very nice.
Yeah. And then I also bought... I was down at Played Against Sports, and they had a pretty decent selection of discs, and I ended up buying two of the special edition Pilots.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for... they just have, like...
That's the tricolor stamp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, there's not many companies that are doing that. So I really am a sucker for tricolor foils.
I know those are awesome. I saw them in the shop and I debated whether to do it or not, but man, our MVP stock is so big right now that I don't know. I couldn't justify dropping another $500 or $600 on, you know, tricolor Pilots. Yeah. But
and I forgot what the plastic is. Grippier, I'm not very familiar with MVPs.
I think it's their neutron. I think it is neutron.
Yeah, cosmic neutron. Yeah, like splatter. Yeah, mm-hmm. So those are sick, and I want to get out and throw them. So that's my intention.
Yeah.
Now, if I end up throwing them, they'll most likely just be collectors. Like if I
right.
Yeah. So that's basically.
All right.
Yeah. How about yourself?
So, disc golf related. I bought Polar Stroller skis.
Oh,
so what those are, I had a conversation with the owners of Polar Stroller skis. Yeah,
I've seen somebody making them the other day.
Right. And that's where I got the idea too. It was a Instagram post.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So
probably watched the same thing.
Yep.
And I was like, that's brilliant. Cause up here it sucks in winter to pull a cart.
Yes.
And I'm old and I don't want to carry a bag anymore. We found that out.
Yep.
So now I'm back to a cart or I'm at a cart and, I don't want to pull it through snow. So
yeah.
I got skis.
That's awesome.
So those will be throwers or how about pullers?
Yeah.
And then so there's two discs I bought and we have the Ballista Pro or excuse me, the Ballista Chameleon that came out in the Royal Box 3s.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Okay.
So I picked up two more of them.
Two more boxes?
Just two more Ballistas out of the Royal Box. So I bought the Royal Box and I picked up two more Ballistas. And then, sorry, our phones are going crazy for some reason.
I don't know what's going on.
And did they announce Ricky's going to DD? Is that what happened? No. That's my kid asking for more YouTube time. and then I bought one Moonshine Comet, one Jawbreaker Comet.
Ooh.
Yes, the Jawbreaker Comet I paid too much for, but I wanted it and I didn't have one. So
okay, because I noticed you were on Instagram the other day, you were talking about finding an understable mid-range.
Yep.
And
yep.
So you still like the Comet.
Yep. You have seen my progression of mids through the times that I played. And I've gone from Buzzes, Buzz OS, Buzz SSs. I've done the whole gamut of mid-ranges. Emacs, Truth, Moonshine Fluid Truth, Bounties. You name it, I've thrown the mids. And I always come back to Comets.
Yeah.
Fuses. Lucid X fuses. I've done all those. So the Comets will both be throwers, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The Ballistas will both be throwers, I'm sure. And my skis will both be throwers.
Nice.
Because they will be on my bag.
I might have another ballista for you. I could give you out of my box.
Yeah, if you like. Because both of them I got were very light. Very light blue.
Mine, I think, is white, I want to say. Okay. I don't remember. I haven't looked at it recently.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, my dogs are going crazy, too. So if you hear that in the background, sorry about that. And let's see. Yeah, I don't think I bought anything else. So nothing else is coming. Hmm. I'm sure something will surprise me and show up because I'm always buying something. But the new topic that we'll start is what our disc golf story is. So, JP, why don't you start? What's your disc golf story?
My disc golf story. I started playing back in 2003 in college. I went to Lakeland College, which is now Lakeland University in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And basically how I got into it was I was coming back from class one day, walking down the hall of my dorm, and two guys that I knew were walking out of the car as I was coming back into class, and they were like, had discs in their hands. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I was like, okay. And I was like, I just said, hey, what are you guys up to? They're like, oh, we're going to play disc golf. And my jaw just like dropped. I was like, what is this? I was like, yeah. Can I call them? They're like, no, man, we're pinched for time. Like, you can come out with this next time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. All right. So a couple of days go by, and I think I ended up going to a Dunham's or something like that we had in town, like a sporting goods store. Mm-hmm. And I just went to look to see if they had discs. And luckily enough, they had some. And my first disc I had bought was a special edition Valkyrie. Right. It's got this sweet, like, burst on it.
Okay.
That was my first disc, and that was my only disc for about probably 2 years or so.
Okay.
And so the first course we ended up going to play was Volrath, which is the oldest
disc golf course in Wisconsin.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all the holes are fairly short at the course. I think there's only 300 foot holes. The rest are about below 200 or so. So it's like a nice, not really pitch and putt, but you know, for a beginner, it's a sizable, there's some sizable holes to play.
Yeah.
So I just took this Valkyrie out and played, had no idea how to throw, just stand still, tried throwing, and you know, I made it through the round. But so hole 18 at Volrath is known as, it's the bowl.
Yep.
So basically it's this, I have no idea how deep it is, but it's this big U, and they have, you know, like graduations there and stuff. And it's close to 200 feet across the bowl.
Right.
So I'm standing there.
Kind of like an amphitheater.
Yes.
Without the seats.
Exactly.
It's just basically that's a bowl.
Exactly. It's
a
sandy knoll. And it's probably like 60 feet down or something.
Right. Or grassy knoll, rather.
Yeah. And so I'm out there, and I throw maybe a 100-foot shot and land in the bowl.
Yeah.
And so I end up, you know, looking up, and I'm like, oh, man, what am I going to do? So I tomahawk the disc.
Sure.
And, you know, end up, you know, finishing out the round, and I was like, well, when's the next time we can come out?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so from there, we eventually, you know, we get a group of us, maybe like five or six people, to go out, you know, a couple afternoons when we had off of class. And then eventually the girl I was dating at the time, I got her into it. So I bought her a disc and we'd go play around Sheboygan. And then a couple years later, I ended up moving to Green Bay and lived across, I think it's called Triangle Rec.
Yep.
Yeah. So I lived in an apartment complex across from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd go play there for a little while.
So off a hole one, it's very easy to skip it off the road into those apartments, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, yeah, so that happened. Yes. So, yeah. So we were there for, I wasn't there in Green Bay for very long, about a year or so. So we had a falling out, you know, personal matters. So I ended up coming back up to Door County, where I took a bit of a hiatus from disc golf. Just because there wasn't a lot of disc golf in Northern Door County.
Mm-hmm.
The only course that was up here was Sunset Park in Sturgeon Bay, which is about a 45-minute drive, and it's not a very, to me, it's not a very fun course. It's laid out very poorly,
right,
in my opinion.
Agreed.
There's a lot of water to navigate. I haven't played there in years, actually.
When someone asks about disc golf courses in Door County, I usually leave Sunset out.
Yeah.
It's dangerous crossing fairways over water. Right now the whole park is flooded and it's been flooded for about a year and a half. The baskets are, I don't even know what their baskets are. They're like Volsteins. They're really old.
Someone we play with mentioned that they updated the course a little bit, but I still have no idea.
Yeah. They took out two holes because they were unplayable. They were underwater, basically. Okay. Yeah. But so, yeah, I leave that course out when I tell people about courses in Door County.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not rated very high there.
Hmm.
And so after moving back up here, I'm trying to think of how I got to meet. So there's a guy that Shane and I both know. Should we bring up Dave?
Yeah, sure. Right? Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So Dave Elliott, he actually owns a newspaper up here, and he had a huge tract of land.
Mm-hmm.
It was used as a quarry.
Right.
And so he had some very unusual obstacles and no baskets. So basically we're
object golf.
Yeah. Like you had to hit tires or stones or throw into a fire pit, you know, something just totally ridiculous.
Old Chevy door with bullet holes in it.
Yeah. So we ended up playing out there for years. Like I don't even know how long. And eventually Dave and a couple of the other people that we were playing with kind of fell off, but like he still allowed us to go out there and play. So that was really cool. And then I'm trying to think of, yeah, so after that I think I took some time off as well, just because I got into some other things. I was playing volleyball during the summer. I was working a ton. I worked like two or three jobs every summer for a while in the kitchen. So that took up a lot of time.
Such as a life in Door County.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what you do in the summer up here. You just work your ass off. And then eventually, you know, Shane came up here with started Door Disc. And yeah, I mean, we got some really solid courses in the ground, you know, some pretty beginner friendly courses. And then we have one really, really nice course that we've been making improvements on, and that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah, and our paths crossed just at different timelines, because my introduction to Door County Disc Golf was Dave's property. Never played with you, though, even though I played there for about 3 years, right. Or maybe we did. No, we never did.
No, I don't think we ever played. Did. The first time I saw you was at League. Your name had come up between Tyler and Luke, and I think I met Jordan before I actually met you. I'd played with Tyler, Jordan, and Luke before I actually played with you. And then I don't remember how we actually ended up playing. So
I think just started playing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Because we would do the leagues in Sister Bay after I got Sister Bay course in the ground, and then we would alternate between Jacksonport, which Jacksonport and Sister Bay kind of happened simultaneously, because J.R. George put that course in the ground first. So
and then every once in a while down to Sugar Creek,
And then every once in a while to Sugar Creek, which is a great course. Jim Van Lannen, I believe, was the one that pioneered that one, along with somebody else that
I'm
not familiar with who it is.
So the guy, his name's Tim. I talked to him when I was working at my old restaurant job. He's like, he was a wine distributor at the time. So he came and he's like, I'm building this course down, you know, trying to get this disc golf course off the ground down in, you know, Southern Door area. I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, you know, something to do.
And what year do you think that was?
Oh, man. Let's see. I stopped. Man, it's been a long time since I worked at 2011, maybe like 2009, 10.
Okay.
I stopped working at Sister Bay Cafe. So I worked at this place, was called Sister Bay Cafe, and I stopped working there in 2011. So like they closed down and like turned into Wild Tomato like a year and a half after that or so. Yeah. So yeah, I want to say it's like 2009 or 10.
Okay. There. Okay. Yeah, because I remember, yeah, I remember all that. And I remember Tim, he was the Purple Feet wine distributor. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, I remember that. So small world. And he had no clue that I was an avid disc golfer because we used to deal with him all the time.
Yeah.
Cause I would have gladly supported that. So my disc golf story starts about the same time. 2002 is what I've kind of boiled it down to, 2001 to 2002. I was a collegiate athlete that got hurt. Primarily played football, dislocated both my shoulders, and was a freshman. So that would have been 2000. Yeah, so 2001. So a freshman in college, starting lineup, all that fun stuff. Played Whitewater in a scrimmage, UW Whitewater in a scrimmage. And in that, I dislocated both my shoulders for the umpteenth time because I have horrible shoulders. Had three surgeries prior and in high school. And that all stems from BMX racing.
Oh, dang.
So I took a break from football because I had healing time. So I was in the weight room doing stuff, still on the team, still, but just lost that competitive vibe, I guess. You know,
it's hard when you're not competing to keep that intensity.
Right.
You know, like you want to compete and knowing you can't, it's kind of demoralizing.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was not the biggest guy on the field. I was a tactician at best, and that's what got me to college. And it got me to college. I knew I wasn't going to play pro. At best, I was going to play arena league. So I just decided after about a year of training, no field time, not being on the field competing, I needed something to fill that urge. So I started sport hopping. Okay. So I did the track thing.
Yep.
Did the wrestling thing. Realized that that was ridiculous. I wrestled in high school. College wrestling is a whole different level.
I can only imagine.
It was, yeah, just losing the weight was too hard. You know? But yeah, those boys are on a completely different level. Mad respect to them. And then baseball. So I was first baseman. Tried that for a spring league and just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
Liked it, liked the guys, just it wasn't fulfilling me. And then intramurals took over.
Yeah.
So I started playing ultimate, started playing volleyball, started playing softball. 6-time champion, by the way.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. And then so while playing ultimate, ran into a guy that played disc golf at the same time. Name was Matt. Don't remember his last name. He was one of my fellow RAs. I was a resident assistant in college. And he took me out to a local course in Port Washington, which was called Tendick.
Yeah.
Tendick Park at the time in Washington County was free to play. And it was just kind of a pitch and putt.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a lot of long holes. Had some elevation, some woods, some open, and just loved it. Played a weekly there called Aces or Die. There was only about four of us that played. And basically whoever came out with the most aces at the end of the round got the money for the day.
Okay.
That was it.
Easy.
So yeah, it was real easy, real simple. And then I just got the bug from there. There was a place called Screaming Tuna. It was either in Cedarburg or Grafton, Wisconsin. And it was a little surf shop / head shop.
Yeah.
And they had a little display of discs, but his discs all had stamps and dies.
Oh, like really?
Special stamps and dies, yeah, with them. So the very first disc I ever bought myself was a Valkyrie.
Okay.
Same disc you bought. Yeah. Red one. Still have it downstairs.
Yeah, I got mine.
Yeah.
It's in the closet.
I don't think I'll ever get rid of it. And then I bought a Beast, which now Tyler Frickman has that Beast. A pink, yeah, Beast. It was the second disc I ever bought. And then the third disc I ever bought was a Rhino that had a money stamp on it. And it was an old Gummy Champ Rhino.
Nice.
Beautiful disc. Still have it hanging on the wall. And putted with that thing for about 13 years before I finally retired Rhinos. So came up to Door County. My wife and I purchased a motel and restaurant, and it was a desert up here for disc golf.
Yeah.
So anytime I traveled, I threw my bag in the car and I'd play disc golf. But up here, I didn't. Wasn't even aware the Sugar Creek existed. But you and I started in the time where you waited for Disc Golfer magazine so you could look up where the courses were.
Yeah.
You know, or waited for the next buddy to find out where a new course would be. So once I got to that point up here in Door County, I got a text from my brother-in-law and says, "Hey, I just went and played this game called Disc Golf." And I go, "Really? Where did you play that at?" "Oh, there's this land that this guy named Dave Elliott has, and I go play with the Frickman brothers." "That's awesome. Let's go play." Kind of invited myself. So he goes, wait. I got to ask him because it's kind of a like good old boys club.
Yeah,
like you have to know somebody to go get there.
Yep.
And I said, okay, sounds good. So I waited for about a week, kept bugging him like, can I play? And in the meantime, dusted off all the old discs and pulled out my shoulder strapped, Innova like 13 disc bag.
Yep. And I got one of those.
Yeah. And one of the special ones, like the red diamond plated one. I think they only made them for a couple of years, but I still got that because it's just sentimental to me. It's now pink because it's so sun faded. But went out there and just loved the course. And it beat up my disc so bad. I have so much gravel. So much sharp metal.
Yeah.
Glass. Like, but it was object golf, and it got me back into disc golf full time. So it sparked my interest. And at the time, I was on the Sister Bay Village board. And on the Sister Bay Village board, I was able to propose to the Parks and Lands Committee that we add a disc golf course to the sports complex and TKH, the sports complex. And fortunately, they said, yeah. So that's the start of the Door Disc Golf Club, which is Door County. And we put in Sister Bay. And at the same time, J.R. George in Jacksonport, him and I sat down at the Blue Horse Bistro and laid out the Jacksonport course.
Yep.
And he just asked for advice. So he did the lion's share of the work. He just asked for advice. I hooked him up with dynamic discs.
Okay.
And got the baskets for him. And then he installed Jacksonport, and Jacksonport was about, I don't know, maybe 2 days before we finished Sister Bay. And J.R. George is now known as the disc golf guy in Door County.
But he doesn't play. That's what's crazy to me.
I think we've played once or twice, but he was the one that officially got the first course in the county. And I'm super happy because we got one in Jacksonport. We finished Sister Bay, and, you know, we got Bailey's Harbor, and we're going to be working on Fish Creek. So a lot of things have happened since. So I fell in love with the sport. And then about 6 years ago, I had this crazy idea of starting a disc golf shop. And it came to fruition about a year ago because my wife was tired of me asking. And I was able to finagle a way to bring in the three other individuals with me, Caden Stahlke, Bjorn Anderson, and Jordan Zajac, who is my brother-in-law, and to bear some of the cost of opening the store. And rest is history, as they say. So that's my disc golf story.
I remember being in the car when you called Jordan. We were at DDO, and I was in the car, and you were discussing locations. You said there's two. And Jordan needed a place to live at the time.
Yeah.
He didn't have his house.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's funny how it's all. all yeah. kind of connected.
And that story happened fast. So Jordan, it happened within about a 3-week time period because I was like, I'm just tired of this. I want to do it. 2020 yeah. is the time to do it right now because everything was blowing up.
Absolutely.
So 2021, it was maybe late March because you guys were, no, it was early, late April because you guys yeah. were at DDO.
Yeah.
And I had started the conversation maybe 2 weeks prior to, and we had a store within 4 weeks. but like I said, it was about 6 years in the making, but I had a conversation at Weekly's. Then someone contacted me. Bjorn Anderson actually said, hey, if you're serious about this, I'd love to be involved. And I said, at what level? Do you want to be a worker or an owner? And he says, never even thought about being an owner, but what does that look like? And so we went through everything, and I don't do anything without Jordan as far as my disc golf buddy goes. So brought him in on it, convinced him to waste money with me and Bjorn and Caden. He's a welder. He's a fabricator. And he decided that he would make all of our racks and put in sweat equity. And that's how he ended up earning in okay. ownership into it. So, yeah, but it all happened within about 4 weeks, finding a place.
That's fast. It was really fast.
It was, yeah. And it was kind of the, hey, you want to do this? They said yes. And I said, okay, buckle up.
Yeah.
Hold on, here we go. You know, and but my background is in business, so it wasn't daunting to me. And it was funny to see the look of deer in headlights, like, are we really doing this? And when it was already done, you yeah. know, and just the settling into what ownership looks like. And so it's fun, but that's part of my drive. That's part of what I do. It's my daily tasks. I mean, that's just how my life rolls. You know, a lot of people are amazed at the things that I do, but it's just normal life, you know, and I didn't do those things my entire life the way I do it now, but it's just, I couldn't imagine myself not being as busy as I am. I'd go crazy.
And before the physical store happened, mm-hmm. Door Disc Golf, the club, had a online store.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Mainly for fundraising.
Right. Exactly. And that's all it was for. So Door Disc Golf Club, which we started, I don't know, probably about 4 years prior, 5 years prior, put basically the only disc we carried were Trilogy brands. So yep. DD. And we only did custom stamp discs. We ran no stock stamp, but it was all just for club fundraising. So people wanted to buy them. We did shirts, we did, you know, beanies, hats, things like that. But every dollar went right back into the club. And we still have the same philosophy within the store. We're still giving directly back. Like, I haven't taken a dime from the store, and I don't think either of the other three owners have taken a dime from the store yet. I'm sure it'll happen, but at this point I have no dreams or desires to do so. I just want to basically put it back into the community.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the goal of Door Disc Golf, and I don't think it's changed from the club or to the store. Now that's to the store. So
yeah, that's pretty special.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice because it truly is a community, and we support what's happening, support the players, and we just want to make sure that disc golf grows. And we had that mentality before the boom. We still have that mentality. As much as we think disc golf has grown so much and it's so big now, we just hit 200,000 members
yeah.
in PDGA, which is awesome. But in reality, so small. It's still such a niche sport.
Yeah.
I mean, we might have passed horseshoes. You know, you think about it. I'm just happy where the club has been able to go, and now the store is able to take it to the next level. So I'm just truly honored that I was able to have a hand in it, you know, and everybody else is still putting in a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of labor. So yeah, the club is awesome up here.
It is.
So yeah, that's kind of my story. Do you have anything else to add or any other questions?
What do you like to do outside of disc golf? I mean, you're busy with your other businesses, but I mean, when yeah. you get free time to do anything, what do you like to do?
My hobbies are my businesses.
Yeah.
So God, this has been the Shane Show. Oh,
whatever.
So I own, roughly 45 units with my wife. And we manage another 16 units. And that's a combination of cabins, condos, and motel. And then I also have about a 125 seat restaurant. And then I have a leadership business, which is called Loft Leadership. So what I do is I work with individuals and small businesses and help them kind of get their business on the right track. And whether it's individuals or through teams. So I work them through that. So personality, skills based, whatever it is, I'll help them all assess the business and we go forward with it. And I keep that really small just simply because I have a lot of other irons in the fire. But those are all things I love. And I think working with people and helping them see their potential is probably my biggest hobby, because I'm such a geek. Like, books and research and podcasts, they're all about leadership or disc golf.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that I, and it sounds like really riveting stuff, but I mean, those are the two things that just captivate my mind, and of course my family.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell. How about yourself?
Well, got 3 kids running around the house to look after. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that
one fairly fresh out of the oven too.
Yeah, I mean, two years old. She's a firecracker for sure. But so I coach youth sports. I am currently coaching my son's basketball team, 5th grade basketball team, and mm-hmm. that's been taking a couple days a week. We were supposed to have some games, but due to COVID, they have been canceled, which is unfortunate. In the summers, I coach youth soccer as well. It's been Dempsey's age group, whatever that may be. Or, every other year I'm head coach, and then I'm assistant coach for, because we do, every other year he's, older or younger. So, if he's in the younger part of the team, I'll sit back and be assistant. Mm-hmm. I'm also on the SAY, which is our local soccer association. I'm the vice president.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that was decided just a little while ago. Okay. A lot of the parents have kids that have aged out, and so they're looking to bring in some new blood.
Right.
So I'm in vice president. Not a lot of duties right now, but who knows? I'm in charge of refs and some other things. And then listen to quite a few podcasts. I'm a mailman, so I get out on the road and I listen to about four and a half hours worth of podcasts. Uh-huh. And then,
so if you ever lose discs, this is the guy to talk to.
That could be UPS or FedEx or someone else too.
Yeah, it's not USPS. No.
I went to school for creative writing, and then I really wanted to get into film school, but unfortunately I didn't have the grades to get into film school. So my big thing growing up was always movies. I'm a big film buff. Just like going and watching movies. Dempsey and I went to go see Spider-Man the other day, which was awesome.
I just watched Matrix.
Oh, I did too.
Loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was good. Definitely better than the second and third one.
Absolutely. I know people are hating on it, but I thought it was good.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. Although Sturgeon Bay Cinema 6 had some super audio issues.
Oh, really?
I thought it was crackling for effect.
Yeah.
Of when Neo was in, and I'm not going to, no spoilers, don't worry. But in the beginning, Neo's back in the Matrix.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought it was for effect of the Matrix.
Oh, okay.
And then I realized when he's out. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole movie, it does the whole time. It was just crackling, and I was so frustrated, but good movie.
I watched it at home on HBO.
I found out it was sorry, I just clapped my hands because I was so frustrated. I found it was on HBO. I drove all the way down there in a snowstorm and back. It was my choice. I'm not playing victim here. But but it was still good. It was worth it. And I ate my buttered popcorn and felt horrible the next 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to be able to sit at home on the couch. I just sat and watched it by myself because I know nobody else was interested in the house. Man. But they were having the same issue during some of the previews during Spider-Man. I wasn't upset about it because I was I don't really care about it as long as the movie sounds great.
Yeah. I noticed it in the previews and I was but it was much worse in the previews.
Yeah,
and then during the movie, it was it was there. It was enough to bug me.
I wonder if it was just the theater, like the certain theater, or if that's just...
Was it Theater 6 you were in?
No.
So we only have six of them.
Yeah. I think it was the one like where you walk in right away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it... what the deal was, but
yeah,
go see Spider-Man.
go see it. Oh, I gotta watch it.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm a big fan, you know. I was a Tom Holland fan, but was it Jerry Maguire? Jeez. Toby Maguire.
Show me the money.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I like the Toby Maguire ones because I think that was... I didn't grow up with them because those were... I was in college, I think, when those came out. Was that where we were?
I want to say early 2000s. So yeah, like Spider-Man 2 is up there as one of the best comic book movies of all time with Doc Ock.
Yep. Yeah.
So like that was a good trilogy. First two were good. Third one, so mad.
Yeah, man. I love movies. So what else were you saying? Oh,
tangent. Yeah. And then, music, mm-hmm. like messing around, like, I just like to either listen to music or I will go on my computer and just make, you know, I mess around and make small samples of music, whatever it is. I kind of got that into that when I moved back home. I bought a new computer. It was like a MacBook and it was like 80 gigs. And I was like, yes, 80 gigs. This is awesome. And I immediately filled it up with MP3s.
That's funny.
And so I couldn't do anything on it. And then I ended up buying a drum machine and sampler that I still have. It's a Roland SP-404 where you can, like, it has different banks where you can, like, plug in.
Sure.
And, you know, work it that way. I don't use it as much anymore because now everything's, like, pretty digital. Mm-hmm. Or you can get pretty much any sampler, any machine digitally now on like an iPad or your computer or whatever, and just like bang away on it. So yeah, I just kind of like to fool around and do that. And yeah, that's...
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think outside of work, you know, you talk about your sampling of music. it's such an old guy thing, but I love woodworking. That's something I... All right. In the nature of being fully transparent, we ran out of batteries. So for our first podcast, we are petting 1,000 so far between dogs and batteries. So I'll pick up where I left off. Woodworking. I love woodworking. I have for quite a while. Learned it from my grandfather and my dad, basically. My dad was a contractor. Just love working with my hands. It's make furniture, do epoxy, do all that stuff. And you were just mentioning something about epoxy work.
Yeah. I forgot. It was one of the Paul brothers. I forgot if it was Logan or Jake, but he had 12 old school Game Boys and he put down a bed, you know, epoxy bed, placed all the Game Boys like equal. I think it was like three rows of four or whatever.
Sure.
And then just poured it out and like just solid cube, and it was awesome. Like total nostalgia. Like I used to play Game Boy all the time, Tetris, Super Mario Brothers, whatever it was. So it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, and that's awesome. So I've done a river table for a dining room table, 3-inch slab cherry, and did a pour in it, and it was a little over 11 gallons of epoxy.
That's a lot, right?
It was a ton.
Yeah,
it's a ton. Considering epoxy ends up being about $120 a gallon. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I didn't plan that very well. But
that's an expensive dining room table.
It was very much so. So I have about 3 gallons left, and I've been toying with the idea of setting some discs in epoxy.
Yeah, nice.
So so you might see that pop up on the Instagram. That'd be cool. Yeah, so I guess that's kind of our life stories. I'm sure it's more than you guys wanted to know, but hey, you know now. So,
welcome to our world.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little taste of what you can expect from this podcast. It will be completely on topic at points and completely off topic at points. So we're not going to promise anything, but we are going to promise that you will hear our voices every week. well, JP, where can they find you?
You can follow me on Instagram at JKDC Disc Golf. And I am also on TikTok as diskin.jk.
Oh, you're there with the young guys, huh?
Yeah, want to, and I'm like, well, I'll try it out. But man, TikTok is such a CF of whatever, you know, if you're on it, you know.
Like, yeah. Well, like, I'm a longtime listener, first time caller on TikTok. So I'm in the background constantly watching. They're so entertaining. I've tried to post a couple things, just never. So you'll never know my TikTok name. But you can get me at door_disc_golf. And you see, basically I post everything there, or Door Disc Golf Store on Facebook. So in Instagram is door_disc_golf. And Facebook is Door Disc Golf Store. But we appreciate it. And make sure you guys keep it subpar. Peace.